I usually give like a intro for all my guests.
Right. And if one thing we don't need.
When I do that, what like what's the five projects I should mention? Like in your career, you know Chris Wilde from
The Duff.
The Duff.
The Revenant.
The Revenant.
The Babysitter.
The Revenant, not the Leo one. The better one.
Yeah, well, The Revenant.
Yeah.
I like to do the projects with the thes in the title. Yeah. So, The Duff, The Revenant, The Babysitter, The Chris Wilde Show starring Chris Wilde, and I don't know.
Hey, Joe, I like your show. I tell everybody that's my shit. And if you got a long ride and you like getting high, maybe go and take another hit. We gonna laugh out loud, that's what it's about. Nobody ain't safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause the motherfucker's 6'4". Hey Joe, it's time to start the show. Up, up and away we go. Mic check and I like your flow. Everybody, here's Joe.
That was such a great theme song, so catchy. Wow, what a toe tapper.
That's my guest on episode 10 of the Joe Prano podcast, my favorite guest on all podcasts, Mr. Chris Wilde.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to JPP with tonight's guest, me.
Chris, I have been, let me tell you how I got down here. Not that you need an explanation on how I arrived at your place and wanted you to be a guest on my podcast, because that's obvious. You're right. The most entertaining man in show business.
Agreed.
But I was just watching the new Norm MacDonald Netflix show. The controversial Norm MacDonald Netflix show, because he said...
Who was a victim during Roseanne's tweets? Like, I understand Louis C.K. had a couple of victims that he, you know, twiddled his diddle in front of.
Yeah.
Sorry for the language.
Yeah. Your son is in the room.
But 7 years strong, going on eight in 34 days?
33.
33
Patrick
days.
Patrick Ewing.
So, but Roseanne tweeted about a woman... She tweeted about a woman.
Yes.
There's no victim there.
No.
Even the woman she tweeted about is not a victim.
And even the woman she tweeted about was like, I don't care. This
she
did
doesn't
not,
care.
I just did
She's
not
like
bother
a classy
me.
Lady. Yeah. Whoever she, I can't remember the name of the lady.
So I was watching. I've been ingesting all things Norm recently. I listened to him on Howard.
See, I've been digesting recently.
Yeah. And
Archie and Jughead double digest.
I was watching the first three episodes of his show. And I was like, Norm is so great. I love Norm. Maybe my favorite comedian of all time.
He's really funny.
But he's still at his best as the guest on a talk show.
Absolutely.
And I was sitting there and I go, who is like the Norm of podcasts?
Uh-oh.
And then I was like, I got to go down and
Watch
do an
out.
Episode with Chris Wilde.
Boom. The Norm MacDonald of podcasts. I once saw a Blake Griffin comedy night, Comedy by Blake. And Whitney Cummings came out and did time. Blake hosted. He did a set, which was pretty good. Who else did a set? Oh, Jim Jefferies crushed.
Blake came out and was like, I can carry a team by myself. And the whole crowd was like,
yeah,
yeah.
It was comedy. And then it was a period. And we said, bye, Blake. Comedy by Blake. And so Jim Jefferies came out crushed, called Blake the C-bomb. Again, I'm so sorry for the language. Because, like, Blake was quote-unquote injured during that time.
Right.
And he didn't even limp. And Jim Jefferies like, at least limp, mate. Anyway. And then Norm MacDonald came on and literally creeped the entire room out. Half the audience got up and left and just went into the lobby and drank and danced. Like, we was at some nightclub.
Yeah.
And then John Mulaney had to come up next.
And he creeped them out how? Just with jokes? Or just,
you know what?
So was he doing the anti-comedy thing?
He was not telling jokes. He was telling like old gambling stories. But then I went into the green room with Jim afterwards and met Norm MacDonald's mother. So Norm was there with his mom. So maybe he was nervous because
yeah.
his mom was there. But I'll tell you what he wasn't, was a comedian telling jokes.
Right.
Like there was no jokes. There was, it was very interesting. I was... Like,
and I think Norm's a great comedian, and I think he has moments in each stand-up set that I see where I'm always like, that's amazing, and then the rest is like, it's okay. But everything else he does is brilliant. Like, he's...
Dude, him
his
on
roast,
Letterman,
his,
him on Howard,
yeah,
he's a great guest.
Fantastic.
You're absolutely right.
But, you know, I did an episode a couple episodes ago about social media and how one tweet can ruin your life, and
right.
the whole James Gunn thing and the Roseanne, and...
That's why I'm off social media.
I wanted to ask you, you're not on social media anymore at all?
I just have too much to lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't even want to mention my new Kia commercial on your show.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Kia will fire me because I shouldn't mention Kia on your show. Kia.
I always ask you because when you go on podcasts, the greatest guest in podcast history.
I like to bring the heat.
You bring the heat. You push the envelope. Sometimes you light the envelope on fire.
Sure. Sometimes I lick the envelope. Sometimes the envelope licks me.
And I asked you one time, I said, you, because I've seen you get into it with people on social media.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm inside the head of Chris Wilde. I watch you, and then some girl gets upset.
At pale comparison.
Yeah. And she tags your agent, and she tags
she calls
Kia
SAG.
And whatever. She calls SAG.
She calls her Kia
And
dealer.
You're like, you know what? Why? This is not for me. I don't need this.
Right.
I disappear.
And I could ignore her.
Right.
Which is probably the smart, rational, mature thing to do. But then I just get bored.
Yeah.
So when I'm bored, I will then just light her on fire.
I'm the exact same way. And it's not even out of boredom. I have to have the last word.
Totally.
Like, literally. I will keep going until you stop. So you've been on and off social media.
Right.
But I always ask you, and I'm surprised because you do podcasts and you go way beyond anything you do on social media. And I said to you, I go, aren't you worried about people finding stuff you say on podcasts?
And I just, the nice thing about doing like your podcast or Eddie Ift's podcast, no one's listening.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. No one is listening.
Yeah.
There's video footage of me saying horrible things.
Yeah.
And no one's downloading these videos. No one's watching these videos. No one's listening to these podcasts. Or they are, but like your usual podcast fan is ingesting so much, you know, that like, what are they going to do? Remember when I made a horrible off-colored homophobic rape joke, you know, which was a joke.
But I also think that's something.
Yeah, I had blueprints.
Yeah.
I had pictures. Yeah, I had real stories about stuff I did.
I think that's the other thing with Norm getting in trouble was he got in trouble for a print article, and then he goes on Howard, and he says Down syndrome. But if you listen to the whole thing, he said you have to be Down syndrome. You have to have Down syndrome not to feel bad for Me Too or not to be into the Me Too movement or something like that. And that should be so much more.
Is that a double negative?
Yeah.
I don't dislike them.
That should be so much more offensive. But because he's saying it live and you can hear him, you're like, oh, context. He's always joking.
So a buddy of mine, I found out, oh, yeah, he lives in the quiet beach community that I live in. And I found out, oh, he was a writer on Norm. I was like, oh, cool. What was that like? He goes, oh, I wasn't a writer on Norm. I was just basically like, I handled all his gambling. Like he would be in the Norm production office at Warner Brothers or wherever it was for ABC and literally just hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. And he was like Norm's like middleman for gambling. And they gave him a writer credit on the show. He hasn't written anything before or after.
Right.
A buddy of mine guest starred on the Norm McDonald show, whatever the hell that was called, Norm, I guess. And he was a guest star, and the call time was 10 a.m., not particularly late. They go at 10 a.m. to Warner Brothers, and they just wait for Norm to show up. And Norm shows up without a phone call or at 4 p.m. and goes, hey, I had to take a buddy to the airport. And that is like, and they're like, okay. Like, literally, like.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a shock that Norm even has a career when he's pulling these kind of things on the regular. Those are just two stories I know. You know, these are just two things that just happened in the past 48 hours with Down syndrome and, you know, the victims of Louis C.K. and Roseanne. Again, like, I kind of go to bat for Norm on this where, I'm just going to say this, there's no victim in the Roseanne tweet. You know, she said something against a woman and said she's half Planet of the Apes, half, I don't remember.
Right.
So all we remember is Planet of the Apes. There's no, like, I mean, I don't know. There's no victim there.
I mean, the word.
If I'm a black person, I'm not a victim because of that.
The victims, the survivors, like, the survivors of Me Too, the survivors of sexual abuse. Like, when Harvey Weinstein was jerking off in a plant, did you think you were going to die?
Right.
Did you survive?
My buddy went to a party, some Hollywood party, and went to the DJ booth. And like was in the DJ booth and then pulled open a door that he thought was like a private restroom, and maybe it was. But what Harvey Weinstein was using it for was to get a double BJ from two different models, who I think with him, he got so much sex, he became this horrible sex monster.
Right.
And he didn't realize, I guess none of the mirrors in his house worked, and he didn't realize he was Jewish Godzilla, you know, yeah. But uglier.
Yeah.
And so, like, he just was like, I can get any girl. I can get any girl.
Yeah.
Oy vey. Do you think that, like, so I'm going to lose Kia because I said that? Right. I don't think so.
No, because no one's listening.
And it doesn't matter. Yeah, I think just the higher up you are, the further you can fall. So, like, if I were
is there,
to pop,
right.
Which by this by point, the
way,
the
your
odds
career
are against you.
Is your career is the best career.
Agreed.
Because you sure. You live right there in the middle.
Sure,
you're like when I watch, and you've been in a bonanza of Netflix movies lately.
True.
You what?
There's a Netflix trilogy.
What's the Netflix movies you've been in recently? You were in
The Babysitter.
The Babysitter, which was great. I watched
horror,
it simply because
comedy.
You were in it and didn't know it was a horror movie.
Thank
love
you.
Love that girl.
She's
love
great.
Samara Weaving.
She's great.
Ozzy?
She's dating the writer.
Of that movie?
Yeah, Jimmy. She's dating. He wasn't even the writer of that movie. He was like McGee's buddy. I mean, he worked for McGee.
He just put McGee's bets in.
He was McGee's $100,000 delivery boy.
Yeah.
So she's dating, and she's dating this guy who's just like a regular bro.
Are you and
anyway?
Are you in the Blackfella package deal at this point? The guy from Vine?
King Batch, yes.
King Batch.
I'm Prince Batch. So, The Babysitter, horror comedy. When We First Met, romantic comedy.
Is that the Adam Devine one?
And those are available on Netflix now. And then the next
one was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
You were great in that one.
Agreed. You get to the device of, like, the time travel, and then the movie really cooks.
Right.
You just have to get through the first, like, 10, 15 minutes. And then the third in the trilogy is called Rim of the World, a sci-fi family comedy adventure, directed by McGee, starring... you can't really say I'm starring in this, but it's me. And again, the Black Barn guy, King Batch. Yeah. It's like that holy trilogy. We actually did a fourth movie
I'm actually
together.
Not sure that I'm not going to get in trouble for just saying the Black Vine guy. But
right.
It's fine. I think King Batch knows.
Right.
He's
you could
Black
say
Vine
Red
guy.
Vine, but yeah. You can't say Black Vine. It's a vine of color. We were in a fourth movie called Airplane Mode, starring all these social media stars. But it'll never see the light of day, sadly, because it stars Logan Paul, and he's weird. He's weirdly toxic,
right?
You know, which is sad because that movie I play multiple roles, and it's actually who knows. I've heard lots of different. Oh, there's the timer.
That's your timer.
I got to.
We're gonna walk over
to
your kitchen.
We're gonna turn the Joe Prano podcast into a cooking show.
We're walking into your kitchen so you can make pasta for your son.
Yes, and I steamed broccoli. Right, donkey. Now, oh, what is this? It's raw. It's pink in the middle. F off to the dorms, mate. Slag off.
Do you do most of the cooking at home?
Risotto. No.
The wife?
The wife does, but she's not here. She couldn't handle our sweet sexual chemistry.
Did she leave because I was coming over?
Yeah, like she was just like, I can't be here. You two so clearly need to have sex. And she's not giving it to me, and I know you will. So she didn't want to be anywhere near
it. It's funny because my girlfriend is offended by how I talk about your talent.
Well, you do.
I'm like,
it
I'm like
mid-coitus.
Yeah, I'm like Chris. I'm like Chris, because we did a thing together recently. You brought me in on a project that you were working on,
right?
And you were like, we're gonna write this thing together, and you came over to my place. You sat down in front of the computer,
yep.
And you just started. You turned into the Kermit the Frog meme, where you're just like banging on the keyboard,
right?
And then every once in a while, I'd throw in a joke, and we're done, and it's great. And there's five of my jokes in there, or three of my jokes in there, and two of them get cut. And then we come over here to record it,
right?
And you nailed. I mean, I think we did four takes. You nailed all but one word. It's like.
Yeah,
I'm just impressed. I'm just impressed with your reading ability, honestly.
How many? I've been doing it a long time. How many episodes of that project do we have to do before I become the guy in show business that's made you the most money?
Probably. Probably. I don't know. 15?
15?
20?
20 is totally doable.
Totally doable.
Oh, dude. Oh, I can't wait to rub it in all of your lame friends' face. How much more profitable my friendship is than their stupid friendship.
Although I got to say, Eddie F. bringing me on the road a lot lately, which I appreciate.
And that, so that number might go to like 20, I mean, 16, 17. Yeah, every like, road show is going to add.
Yeah, exactly.
To the pot, to the kitty.
I'm pretty sure Eddie brings me on the road now just so he can eat bad and feel okay about it.
Can I talk about how you're not drinking beer on the show? Is that too personal?
Yeah, no, you can.
Because I got a whole box of Pacificos, and I was like, man, these are going to come in handy when the Italian Stallion comes over here.
I know, and I would love to.
Oh, I want this cheese. Wrong cheese, donkey! A donut. What's round and pink with sprinkles, and Homer loves it? A donut! For some reason, donut is an insult. Calling someone a donut is an insult in England. All right, sorry. You were saying Eddie If brings you on the road.
Just so he can say, like, I can't believe you're going to eat In-N-Out. You know how bad it is for you? And then he's like, I'll have a double-double, animal style.
Animal style he's times
like,
10.
He's like, I need 10 two chocolate shakes, ice cream. Eddie eats more ice cream than anybody I know. And he's like, oh, you eat so everything you eat is so gross.
Dude,
really, you're going to have a donut?
Bell's palsy.
Yeah, it's fine. It's
What's with you and the Bell's palsy comedians?
Everybody I know gets Bell's palsy. I'm starting to think that I might have some sort of bacterial.
Oh, that totally makes sense.
You know what would happen? Lachlan would get it, and his face would droop in some sort of handsome way. Like,
again, though, I've said this many times, I'm going to say it again. Lachlan Patterson is more handsome to men than he is to women.
Yes, you have said that many times.
Like, my wife is not attracted to him. I really believe her.
Yeah.
And it's not because she has a type.
My girlfriend says the same thing.
They're fools. He's gorgeous.
I know.
What's wrong with these women?
I don't understand
it. What do they want? Jesus Christ to come down from heaven himself? Which he kind of has, and he's on your show tonight. I mean, you haven't really talked about the look
with
your listeners.
What you do have the long hair, beard. You have sort of a blonde SoCal. You have bro Jesus going.
Yes. Well, I say that I'm like if Jesus had a baby with Tom Petty and they didn't love him. That's what I look like. Because medium Lebowski's too easy. You know what I mean? No one really gets my Kris Kristofferson references. I think I truly look like Dwight Yoakam, which is definitely not a compliment.
It's definitely got a Tom Petty thing.
Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Again, I once was called in a movie review an acerbic Steve Buscemi, and I was like, oh, great. Like, that's the ugliest actor in the history of the world. And then I'm like, oh, great, Tom Petty, the ugliest musician in the history of the world. And these are the comparisons I get. I'm not a 10, but I mean, come on, folks, I'm at least an 8.
What?
But this is a look because honestly, like,
are you preparing for something long
for a while?
For the last year?
Well, I love commitment to a bit. So I haven't cut my hair and it's driving my wife crazy. So I love that. Like it's really driving her nuts. So that makes me really happy.
You're one of the few people that do not manage a baseball team and wear a goatee.
That's true.
You do not have your own. You do not have your own mechanic shop. You are not the manager of a minor league baseball team yet. You're going with a goatee.
I don't have a goatee, dude.
Yeah, it's goatee to neck beard.
Yeah. Like, I just don't have, like, a true... I can't grow, like, a Greek man's beard. You know what I mean?
Right.
I have, like, a low Civil War general beard. but I just did this gig where they trimmed it, so it was a little bushier. Bob, if you want to see something bushy... Oh, my God! Kieran, hide your eyes! All right, so...
Have you been cast in any projects since this look?
I looked like, you know, my version of... Every man, but I had a mustache forever. Thank you. My son just came over and spanked me. I had a mustache forever. That was my thing. And then everybody had mustaches.
Right.
And not to take away from your mustache, I love your mustache. I just was like, I need to be unique. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm very unique, so I can't look like everyone else. So no one in town
is going Tom Petty with a goatee.
Is going Tom Petty, Jesus' unborn baby that they never loved. Like, no one is doing that. So it's a very unique look, and like when I walk into casting offices now, it's just like
I love when I go into casting offices with the mustache. Like, are you willing to shave the mustache? I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm here to work, you know. Like, when you go in, are they going, are you just willing to just get rid of all of this?
So, what they say is, are you willing to shave? Are you willing to cut your hair? And my patented response every time is, groom me, pamper me, whatever you guys are into. That's what I say.
Kills,
yeah, it's pretty good. So, God, I'm such a great dad. It's crazy. Just prepare.
What is this kid eating? Bowtie pasta.
Bowtie pasta with butter and mozzarella.
And broccoli.
And then broccoli.
And broccoli on the side. You're not mixing it into the pasta because you're not a donkey.
He eats fish, chicken, everything that comes out of the sea, which I think is like, as a parent, if you're a parent out there and you've got a, you know, 5 to 10-year-old, they're not eating seafood.
Right.
You're just not doing it. But he's like...
He's grown up in Dondo.
I know, dude.
His dad's Medium Lebowski.
Exactly, bro. So he loves things that come out of the sea.
You guys will go eat sushi together, right?
He loves sushi. It's his favorite.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what he won't eat. Hot dog and hamburger.
That's good.
Crazy. I know. It's crazy, though.
You take him to the ball game, no hot dog.
No hot dog. Can't be bothered. We went to the Dodgers game on my birthday. Hey, Kieran, come eat, man. Come eat and be on this podcast. We need you, bro. We went to the Dodgers game and like... He didn't eat. I ate a hot dog. I drank a beer. He didn't even drink a beer, for God's sake. What's wrong with this kid?
Me and Kieran, off the beer, off the carbs.
But I feel like this kid will have a cheeseburger one day.
Kieran, are you not a cheeseburger fan?
What about the wine?
Oh, yeah. He loves wine. He loves a Chardonnay.
He's a white wine guy?
He loves a chilled Chard. All right, back here. You may have to blow on it, but
so European of him.
Yeah, I feel like eventually he'll eat a cheeseburger, he'll eat bacon, but if he doesn't, it's probably better for him. He'll eat a T-bone steak. I don't know, though. We'll see what happens. I'll keep my eyes on this kid.
Tastes change. I remember I was a kid, I didn't eat tomatoes. Refused.
Yeah, he doesn't eat apples. You would definitely eat a shark, 100%.
You would eat a shark?
He did ask me the other day if humans were edible, and I said yes.
Which is 100% true.
I would imagine humans are delicious.
Yes.
Like the fat ones especially.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
I mean, it's the same thing as eating any fatty animal. Right. Or animals, right?
I was in Australia, a kangaroo, a camel. Right?
When were you in Australia with Eddie?
No.
I think he's only famous in that borderline famous in Australia, right?
Yeah. Or so I hear. I think he just claims he's famous in Australia because none of us are ever going.
No one can confirm nor deny it.
He just goes on a 3-month vacation every year to Australia.
Right.
I swear I'm famous in Australia.
Doesn't
it's like I'm
Palsy
big in Japan.
Sound like a city in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Bell's Palsy, mate. It's north of Perth.
Droopy down there. Drooping off the side.
That's another town in Australia. Yeah. Droopy down there. I'm from Droopy down there, which is a suburb of Bell's Palsy. Oh, God.
I've only found this recently in working with you on things. You're a pretty musical guy. Were you were you musically talented as a child?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought this up, Joe. The first time I was ever paid.
My show is about having artists on to which you're pretty much the most talented artist in every facet that I've ever hung out with.
Well, you know.
And I say that only to piss off my girlfriend who insists. She's like, I'm talented. I'm like, you're not Chris Wilde talented and stop trying to compete with him.
Apparently, it's more taboo.
He's my soulmate.
Look,
get
you
out
can
of my
piss
life.
Off your girlfriend. It's way more taboo to piss on your girlfriend, let's be honest. Okay, so actors back in the day had to be triple threats. Triple threats are acting, singing, dancing, okay? So I started in show business. The first foray I had into show business, I went to the only boarding choir school.
I remember you telling me this.
In North America.
Allentown, Pennsylvania?
No. That
this
was
a different
the first
project.
Time I got paid to act was in Allentown, Pennsylvania. The first time I got paid to perform was singing in this, honest to goodness, world-class choir that performed at this church on Fifth Avenue, St. Thomas Episcopal Church on Fifth Avenue, diagonally across the street from Trump Tower.
Where Barron, that's my son, Barron. My son, Barron, lives at Trump Tower, okay? He's one of the best kids, okay? He doesn't come from Bell's Palsy, Australia, all right? He doesn't have Up syndrome, okay? It's opposite that. Fifth Avenue. I just told this story today. I'll tell it again. One time we were walking from the boarding school to the church to sing. We're all wearing gray, matching gray slacks, black dress shoes, matching navy blue blazers, matching gray trench coats, holding folders that you don't know what's in the folders. It was our music sheets. Cool black dude walks up to me on Avenue of the Americas and says, what are you guys, the FBI in training? And I go, oh, no, so we're the St. Thomas Choir. We perform
at the St. Thomas Church. We sing at the St. Thomas Church on Fifth Avenue. He's like, all right, good luck, guys. The teacher goes, do you know who that was? And I go, no. And he goes, that was O.J. Simpson. This is the mid to late 80s. And I yelled after him, watch out for white chicks juice. But he didn't listen. That part was embellished. But so I saw celebrities all the time in New York City, like Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan were a couple. They came to hear the boys sing.
Yep.
Every Wednesday afternoon, there was this hot old lady with sunglasses in the church. I'm like, sunglasses in the church? The cojones on this broad. It was Jackie O would come to hear the boys sing. One day, we come down to the bottom of the choir room in the basement of the church, and outside our choir director and organist's office is this giant white woman with all white, head to toe, big frizzy blonde hair, giant lips. You can't take your eyes off her. We go down. Dr. Jerry Hancock talks to her, comes down. He always gives the boys a rating, 0 to 100, never gave us 100 ever. We were lucky to get it in the low 90s ever. He's like, boys, you got 100 today. We freak out like we won the Super Bowl. He's like, I don't know if you saw that woman who was in my office just now, but her name is Carly Simon. No idea. No one knows who that is. And then he starts playing her songs, and we know her songs. And
right.
He goes, well, this woman she got commissioned to write a song, and she had writer's block. And she said, I came in her to hear the boys sing, to become inspired. She said she thought of a song on the spot. She asked us if we could sing on it, and we did. So 2 weeks later, we get the sheet music. A week after that, we go to the Hit Factory, record a song called Let the River Run. It wins the Golden Globe, Grammy, and Oscar for Best Song in a Motion Picture. Clean sweep. Only like two or three songs ever have won all three. That was my first
gig. You're on the song.
Gig
in You're on the
show
song.
Business.
Do you get an Oscar for that?
Obviously, I don't want a Grammy or a Golden Globe, but I would like to write an angry tweet to get my Oscar.
Yeah.
But I should get an Oscar. I'm halfway to an EGOT. Right? Yeah. Grammy and Oscar. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't write it, but I performed on it. I was one of the
original
performers.
Have you won any performing awards?
Sure. Best actor at Northern Highlands Regional High School. Best actor at the New York Horror Film Festival.
What was that for?
The Revenant, starring
David
Anders.
I forgot your gift. Oh man.
No, that's okay. We'll see each other again.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Revenant?
I have not.
You would love it the most.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
Where can I watch it?
You can rent it or buy it on iTunes or whatever. So that my brother went to this same school, and I'd watch him like sing Christmas carols on Good Morning America and be on TV. I was like, I want to be on TV. So that's why I went to the school. He went there. I followed. I have a musical background. I can sing. And then my first time getting paid to act was in musicals. I played Dodger in Oliver, the Artful Dodger in Oliver. And I played Woof in the musical Hair, which I actually framed my old poster for. And I feel like it's so apropos right now because this is the longest my hair has ever been. And I starred in a production of Hair for over 6 months. But
you have the poster on the wall here in your living room. What is what's your most favorite piece of paraphernalia that you've stolen from a project you worked on?
Well, like the 6-foot-tall standee of me as the DiGiorno delivery guy is pretty sharp. Although, like, I was in this movie called All's Fair in Love. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. If you're a Chris Wilde fan and you have Amazon Prime, immediately stop everything you're doing.
We're going to make that the fifth on the intro.
And watch All's Fair in Love on Amazon Prime. It's a horrible movie. Just fast forward to the first time you see me and watch it from that point on. And it's actually a good, I think it would be a okay movie if you fast forward to my part, I'm about 14 minutes in, let's say 12, and just watch it from that part on. How are we doing on time? What time is it? It's 6 now? No.
5:53.
All right, we got
to be continued. We're coming back for part two. We are back for part two, and we are now... What park are we at, Chris?
It's time for Kieran Baseball. we're here at beautiful Alta Vista. I'm being told it's pronounced Alta Vista. The fields of Alta Vista, and it truly is a vista. It's an oasis here in the South Bay. Kieran's got his first batting practice. This season is kid pitch.
Your son is in the batting cage next to us.
Yes.
They cannot hear the balls being struck because he has yet to strike a ball.
No.
But I'm sure
the pitches are coming in high.
Yeah, a little high on the pitches. Yeah,
right.
You know,
Well, you're a professional baseball coach,
I am.
Joe. So
I
tell
was.
Me what he's I'm, doing I'm, right and tell me what he's doing wrong.
The son? Your yeah. son or the coach? Because the coach could really, he should lower down, maybe throw off a knee.
Right, right.
That's helpful. Because you remember how dominant Randy Johnson was?
Dude, I saw him once at Sammy's camera on Fairfax, and I was like,
there we go.
I saw him, and I'm like, I'm going to Sammy's camera to buy some camera equipment or something, and literally, I'm like, who is this recognizable giant monster? Yeah. Who is this Hollywood horror creature?
Yeah.
Who is this terrifying giant monster that I want to scream when I look at? Oh, my gosh, it's Randy Johnson.
Well, he was so dominant because he was 6'10".
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to hit a ball that's coming from
good hit, Kieran.
Above you.
Yeah.
Especially, so he's 6'10", 10, you know, 10-inch mound raised
right.
up. So he's, what, 7'8"? And he's and the pitch is coming down at you. And I always tell youth coaches, I'm like, I realize that you're lobbing it, but
right.
it's still dropping out of the sky
sure.
because you're 7 feet tall. To
and this
three
is the first
child.
Season of yeah. kid pitch. It's coming in level.
Yeah.
We need it to come in low.
We need it to come in level. But as I watch Kieran, my advice is we gotta keep his back foot planted. It all sort of comes forward at once. We need to be rotating on that back
you
foot.
You got to squash the bug.
Instead of,
what I was told.
Yeah. Also, maybe watch it all the way to the bat. But other than that, looks like a good swing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time for Gear at Baseball. This is the first season of Kid Pitch, as I mentioned. Before, we were using the Blue Flame, which was like a sling. And then there was this like tire thing that was nice.
Right. Like the pitching machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had like two seasons of that. And now we've got. Oh,
that's
the
well
best
struck.
Hit of the
well
day,
struck.
My friends. Nice line drive. But yeah, so now
kid
it's pitch, Kid
Pitch. First year of Kid Pitch.
And he wants the kid. He wants to pitch. It's a 6-inch raised pitcher's mound, and then 38 feet from the pitcher's
yeah,
mound to home plate.
Sounds about right.
Okay, 38 feet.
I think Little League's 45.
Great.
So
he's
yeah,
little
he's,
league.
He's young.
So
by the way,
feet.
Kid pitch first year for you as a dad. This is gonna be a disaster.
Oh sure.
It's just gonna be pass ball city. Just like a lot of people. Just a lot of chasing of the baseball.
And I'm imagining a lot of walks,
a lot of
kids getting hit.
Yeah, a lot of walks, a lot of kids getting hit, a lot of just non-action.
And I mean walks
then,
home
yeah,
after
yeah,
practice,
yeah.
and you get hit.
A lot of
you don't get a hit.
Yeah, a lot of parents melting down because
oh sure
because the kid gets taken out. It's like, well, he walked 11 dudes, and we had to pull the plug at some point.
So we've got 5 teams that we're playing against over 10 weeks.
Yeah,
and one of the teams is machine pitch. Because they're younger and they had no like they needed to play us to like play somebody. So what our coach is wisely doing is when we're at bat, we're having one of our guys pitch to our team so
smart.
He gets used to the kid pitch. And each now you get to rotate in your pitchers and feel them out because it doesn't really matter because you're playing first graders who use the machine anyway.
Right.
So I think that's genius and I'm very excited because that game. I don't think that's the first game, but some sweet moms here. P.S. But I will definitely, I know Kieran will get some action in that like machine pitch. We pitch to ourselves. He'll definitely get at least an inning.
And this is just like a sports mega facility. There's soccer going on. There's
right.
baseball going on. There's softball going on. Believe
South Bay goes crazy for baseball.
Yeah.
We had Nomar at our like opening day. I think he lives in the neighborhood and he's a dad. Don't swing out here, pal, because of the kids, somebody can run into you. Okay. I don't want you to hit Joe.
You know Nomar.
Precious Joe.
Nomar named Nomar.
Nomar.
Because his father, Ramon, they just reversed it.
Oh, get out
yeah.
of here.
So
so the next
I'm
time
naming
I see
my,
him.
I'm naming my son after you, but I'm Surik.
Dude, yeah. The next time I see him, I'm going to call him Reverse Ramon. Hey,
yeah.
Backwards Ramon. Hey, Reverse Ramon.
So this is just like batting practice today. So your kid will get a couple more hacks. And then
I'm guessing they're just going to rotate it, right? It's from 6 to 7. They're going to
yeah.
clearly run out of it.
Oh, they brought in a lefty.
This is one of my favorite moms. Her name is Robbie. She kind of looks like Christie Brinkley. Don't swing that bat around the other kids, though, okay? This is Sierra and Brody and Robbie. Brody's on the squad. He was on the Pirates with Kieran on the spring baseball.
All kinds of baseball talent.
They don't have a name. We should
think
of a name.
Try to scout. What, the team name?
Yeah, there's
no
name.
They don't
have
a team name?
Well,
they have a uniform?
They didn't get the uniform yet, and I think it's just going to say the name of the league, Redondo Sunset,
uh-huh.
on the uniform. So
and we don't know what color we are. That's important.
I pitched a couple of really bad ideas that Kieran actually liked. The slugs and the bricks.
I like the bricks.
Right?
Yeah.
The bricks.
Why not go with the killer whales, though? Why not just make this whole year round?
I'm not in charge.
All right, right.
The killer whales is a basketball institution of the South
Bay.
They
can't stomp on your good name if you're not.
No. It's a.
Now, you didn't want to coach baseball.
I got to be honest. I used to coach basketball and assistant coach baseball.
Yeah.
And then when they bumped me up to commissioner
of the basketball league.
Yeah. Yeah. My division, not the league, just the division.
Division.
I imagine the league is out there. They're going to pull their heads out of their collectives and make me the commissioner of the entire league, I'm guessing. And it'll probably be very profitable for the league and myself, I'm guessing.
I think they're hoping that you take it worldwide.
Yes. But once I...
More international
once
players.
Once I became commissioner, I was like, I'm all in basketball.
Right.
And I'm just going to be a dad for baseball.
Smart.
And also, like, to coach every single sport is excessive.
Now, you were saying as we walked up, your wife shot down soccer early.
She put her foot down and said, no soccer.
Did the kid ever play soccer?
Never.
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 No soccer.
And he calls it football.
Okay.
He calls it...
But he's not going to play football.
Football.
Either.
And he calls American football murder ball. I pitched America ball, but he said, Dad, let's be honest. Those guys are killing each other out there. They're all brain dead by 30. Let's call it what it is, murder ball. And I said, you got it, son.
Will he be playing murder ball ever?
He will not play murder ball. He'll not play proper football. But next fall, I'm going to give him the option. And actually, I'm glad you're here on your own show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
He plays basketball in the winter. He doesn't get a vote, but he wants to play.
Right.
He plays baseball in the spring. That's what you do.
Right.
Next fall, I'm going to say it's your choice to play A, baseball, B, soccer, which I know he's not going to choose. He's never even heard that word before.
Right.
He calls it football. And then I'm going to give him a choice of at least five sports. What should those sports be?
Like, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
not bad for a South Bay kid.
Right.
Swimming? He's like, swimming
would be great.
Join the swim team, but that's a summer thing, right?
What is it, Kieran?
Wait, what's our coach's name?
That is Coach Randy. And we were talking about Randy Johnson before.
Kieran,
listen to Coach Joe.
When in doubt, just say coach.
Yeah.
The life lesson. That's
so great.
Keep that one in your back pocket forever.
And not in just sports.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, how much for this regular unleaded?
Yeah. Just when in doubt, coach.
It says on the sign. Hey, sure it does, coach. Brody, do you want to be on the Joe Parrano show?
Hi.
It's great.
Killing it.
I know. These kids, they're America's greatest resource. All right, so golf.
Yeah.
Baseball, soccer. I mean, swimming isn't a sport.
Well, but you know what? I think maybe give him like a personal
sport.
He takes
swimming lessons.
Yeah. But you're doing team sports, but give him a personal one. Maybe
jiu-jitsu.
Maybe he excels at something.
Right,
maybe
right,
he's.
Right. Well, that's what golf.
Yeah.
That's tennis. Singular. Tennis.
Tennis.
Tennis. That was a great hit. Tai Chi just crushed
but you know what
it.
You know what I always regretted as an athlete? Like,
what?
Why didn't I just pick something so niche and dumb? Why didn't I just start playing racquetball at like five? Like, how
it's
good.
It's your parents' fault.
Yeah. How good is anybody racquetball?
I always tell Kieran that LeBron James did not touch a basketball until he was age 9.
Is that true?
I read that once, and I just say it like it's gospel. But I think that's true.
So he's already ahead of the game.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I told him before we started. He already has 20 YouTube subscribers.
Exactly.
I told him when I was 7, YouTube was 15 years from being invented. So he's way ahead of the game.
I would tell the fans of your show to look him up on YouTube and watch his videos, but I know that's a slippery slope.
Seems like the bad idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Seems like a real bad idea. Robbie is very interesting. Her husband is a world-class stuntman. Has done probably 5 times as many movies as I've done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
We're scouting. We're here scouting.
Youth baseball show.
But also,
Covering
Coach Joe comes and helps with my killer whale basketball regime, the program. How many practices are you going to come in for this season?
I think the last couple of years I only did, what,
one
each year?
One so far. They're pretty young.
Yeah. Seems like it'd be worth having me in the preseason for one.
You
like,
well, okay, so last.
Early season.
What's up, Kieran?
Can I be am I going to be pitcher? Like here?
Joe and you and I are all going to work on pitching as soon as batting practice is over.
Get your swings in. Get your hacks in.
Get your hacks in. But don't swing the bat near any people.
As a pitcher, eventually they will cut you off from being allowed to swing ever. They will refuse to let you hold the bat.
My favorite thing is when the pitcher gets a hit or gets on base.
Yeah.
And even in the dog days of summer, somebody runs out and puts a jacket on him.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Even in a day game.
Keep that arm warm.
That is insane to me. You could be in Cincinnati, Ohio in 100-degree heat in the dog days of August, where it's just curtains of mosquitoes everywhere, and they put a jacket on the pitcher.
And what's
first.
Funny is half the time they're not wearing a jacket when they're on the bench waiting.
Kieran, do not swing that bat.
Your son is fake swinging the bat at people.
Thank you.
Yeah, and sometimes they won't even be wearing the jacket in the dugout, but yet when they get on the base, it's like we have to make a whole show. We have to have a show.
It's amazing.
About them having the jacket.
Brody's got a very powerful swing. When he connects, he's the home of the Whopper. We call him Burger King. He's the home of the Whopper. Kieran hit two home runs last year. Let's be honest, they were inside the park.
Right.
Little League homers. Errors.
Yeah.
But two.
Until you get to the 90-foot bases,
Kieran,
if you hit
the
ball and you score, it's a homer.
Drop the bat. He had the highest on-base percentage of the team, maybe even the league.
Most important statistic, if you ask me.
Get on the base.
It's the number one thing
runner.
You have to do.
Yeah,
you know, runs scored a little misleading. You could get on, then the guy after you, he grounds into a double play. Not your fault you didn't score.
No,
his stupid
isn't.
Fault you didn't score.
But you got on
get
base.
On base.
Get on base.
Letting somebody else, man, if you get on base and there's a guy in front of you, likely you drove him in. RBI, great. You know, nice stat, but you can't always control it.
Now, legally, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this name around this many kids, but how's Andy Ruther these days?
Yeah, I don't think you can mention him.
How is Stroke Voldemort?
He's
on this show, I can say his name.
Yeah.
What's it? It's Andrew, right?
It's Andrew
Bogdanovich Ruther.
Thames, like, I believe.
Thames.
Thames Ruther.
Andrew T. Thames.
Ruther. Thames, yeah.
Like
I don't
the River Thames, like the
yeah.
Thames River?
But he's from a stupid Midwestern family. They didn't know.
With a lot of boys, right?
They say Thames. They don't know that they're completely mispronouncing it. But he is Andrew Thames Ruther.
Oh, God. That almost hit my head.
It's
here,
a softball.
Kieran, put your glove on, bro. Put your glove on.
Chris, we were talking about your musical background before. One of my favorite questions to ask of all my guests, especially when I have a musical guest on, if you were stuck on a desert island for a year.
Right.
And you could bring as much music as you wanted.
The entire catalog of one artist.
One artist. Who do you bring?
Easy. California Raisins. They're early stuff. So good. No, my favorite. Right now.
I always wonder, what is Chris Wilde listening to in the car? Are you a.
I am.
We were just listening to baseball.
Right now, I am listening to the Beach Boys. Heavy rotation. Because everyone knows the Beach Boys, but they only know about.
Right.
10, 12 songs.
Totally.
So I have, like, unlocked all the albums. I have unlocked all the songs. And there's some later stuff. And I don't mean, like, later, like Kokomo. I mean 70s
right.
stuff. So pre-Kokomo. Yeah, pre-Kokomo, post Good Vibrations. That is absolutely excellent. Okay, this has to stop. This has got to stop. No, absolutely not. Go over there. It's too close to the people. No. First of all, throw closer to each other. And I know, but don't be that far from one another. I care about this community
much. I like that Kieran's going with the Ben Roethlisberger glove on the throwing hand.
Big Ben.
Batting glove on the throwing hand.
Big
I like
Ben dodged the Me Too bullet, yeah.
Oh,
didn't he?
It's like
all those athletes.
It's funny because. It's funny because that's the thing that's happening now is like people are going back into the tweets and
right.
going back and calling people out. Like 9 years ago, you tweeted, you know, she, and now you're not allowed to use gender pronouns and you're fired.
Right.
But they don't go back 10 years and go, you were accused of rape two people.
Like facts.
Yeah, but my
Brody, get closer to Kieran.
But my Twitter's clean, so I'm good, right? Like Kobe Bryant's out there doing commercials still.
I know. And he like fully. Did
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That, there was no margin of error. And it was all like, but there was back then everything was settled out of court. It was just a big old payday.
Yeah,
and it went away.
And
not anymore.
And I always talk about being a Knicks fan is like we never have the timing right. You know, Isaiah Thomas, massive sexual harassment scandal. And they're like, whatever, we paid her off and it's fine. And he gets to stay the GM for a while. And I'm like, why couldn't the Me Too have happened then?
Take that other
batting glove off. We got a proper GM back in the day.
You still are going with the Knickerbockers. You have to.
Well,
those are your guys.
Somebody stole my thunder. I had talked about it. And then somebody, must have been a listener of the Dirty Sports podcast.
Someone stole your thunder? The city of Seattle would love that.
Somebody went on eBay and sold their Knicks fandom. They set the bid at $1,973 the last year we won a world championship, and somebody gave him like $5,000, and now he's a Laker fan.
No,
yeah,
that's a great gag. You should not do that, by the way. Great catch, Kieran. You should not do that because I can't talk to a Laker fan.
Yeah, no, I would never be a Laker fan. But
maybe that's part of the bid, right? Okay, if you
Portland Trailblazers though, CJ McCollum, Lehigh alum, now the. You know, I used to call myself the most famous Lehigh journalism grad with my 12,000 Twitter followers.
Boom, 12K.
CJ McCollum has passed me. He is an NBA superstar. He's an NBA star.
You hate to see this, but here we are on the baseball field, and Brody Irigoyen just, the ball ricocheted off his glove and hit him right in his face. And now he's all tears. He's in his mother's knowing bosom. And can he shake it off? Can he walk it off? He should have caught the ball.
I'm not sure that this is an all stunt.
To get attention?
I don't know. Just dad's a stunt man. Maybe he's practicing his trade, you know?
What a great callback. This is an amazing callback.
His dad was like, I fell down the stairs.
His dad and I did a movie together before we knew each other called Evolution. I don't know.
With David Duchovny?
Yeah. I called him Dukov, and he loved that nickname. He loved it. Julianne Moore was in that movie.
Who were you in that movie?
I was college student number two.
Great.
But it was me John Cho as a college student.
Uh-huh.
He's now, Harold and Kumar.
And now he's a super rich Asian.
Yeah, dude. He wasn't in the big movie, but he was in Star Trek as Sulu. There's a couple other like randos that were just college students in that movie.
What is the biggest box office success that you've been in?
For Chris Wilde?
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
The bigger the movie, bigger than Space Cowboys? The smaller the role. Yeah. So that role is very small. And then Space Cowboys got, like, I don't know, 90-something million at the box office, domestic box office, over 100 worldwide. That was the role's a little bigger.
Right.
You know? The Duff had 40 million. The role's a little bigger.
Right.
The Revenant.
Lost
huge
money.
Huge role. I made about a couple $100.
Yeah.
The Revenant had a really good run, and it'll probably be this month, or this coming month, October, for Halloween, on Sci-Fi Network. We were on Cinemax for years. We were on HBO. We started on Cinemax and HBO are in bed together, right? So they're the same parent company, whatever. Cinemax showed us first for 2 years, and then we moved over to HBO, like, Zone. But then we did so well at Cinemax and HBO Zone. We were actually on proper HBO, like Saturday nights, like The Revenant. It was great. And
during the Halloween season.
Yeah. Or honestly, that was just like it was a long run. It was like
before
years.
Its time, The Revenant. I haven't seen it, but come on.
So good.
Like in terms of just the
title. Yeah. Just the title alone was before its time.
The Revenant out won an Oscar 15 years later.
He was already in the cage. How sweet is that hat, bro?
That is pretty sweet. I was reading. I was like, Rad Dondo.
Yeah, Rad Dondo. So throw it nice to him, man. He's just going to throw it at the fence, which is going to hurt someone.
Yeah.
It's just...
up and over.
It's
I think he got a pull and came back, though.
Yeah, don't just play catch. You guys got to practice throwing it into the glove. Kieran, take your batting glove off when you're throwing.
Nah, he's going with the Big Ben.
You know what? And it's working.
He's going with the Big Ben. He's going with late season Eli Manning.
Kieran's mother wisely showed up on the field because she knew these two jokers.
We're not paying attention.
We're not paying attention. She is all kinds of irritated.
No, we have.
He was in. He was in the batting cage. He's going to get another couple whacks.
I think he got two rounds already.
Yeah, and then we're going to take him over to the pitcher area and work on pitching with Joe.
The bullpen.
So this, I mean, clearly this is the most, this episode is the most out of the box, let's just say.
No, I love it. I like, we're out here, we're amongst the kids.
What was your best baseball memory?
In my life?
Yeah. And let's say, like, let's say your best baseball memory, but then no, there can be like factions of pro baseball memory, a personal baseball memory of
right.
performance of you, the player. I mean, what's your best baseball
probably
memory?
My best baseball memory is right before I moved to California in 2010. I call myself the assistant head coach of the team because I was, for all intents and purposes, I was the head coach, but there was a figurehead in place.
Sure.
That was sort of the kid wrangler. I made all the baseball decisions at the collegiate school in New York, and we won I guess it was the state championship, but for our, like, level, you know? Well, it's not like we went into a tournament against all these teams in the state, but for our whatever it was, you know, not just our league, but, like, I forget. It was the Nices, I believe. And just an amazing group of guys and a good send-off. I was actually supposed to leave and drive across country to Los Angeles, like, 12 days before.
Right.
But we made the playoffs. Like, I think we squeaked in. And then we won a playoff game.
Amazing.
Then we won another playoff game.
And you're in charge of the batting
yeah.
order.
Yeah.
You're in
everything.
Charge of the
lineup. I'm coaching
you're
third
in
base.
Of
Our first game in the playoffs, we faced a pitcher who ended up, like, being, like, really, really good. And I think he went on to play somewhere. I forget exactly where. We won 1-0.
Was it the Mets?
He played. No, he played. He played like high level college.
Right.
I don't know if he. I'm sure he got drafted, but I'm not sure where. But our leadoff hitter hits a triple to start the game.
Amazing.
And then gets on third base, and he goes, "Am I going?" And I was like, "And he was smart. He was our best player."
Right.
And I was like, "Yeah, you got to go on anything. I mean, that might be the only hit we get off this kid. So if he grounds it back, I go anywhere but a ground ball to the pitcher. You got to go. You
okay.
got to score." So contact, ground ball to third base. He goes, hard ground ball to a third baseman playing at the bag. Like, he's out. He's dead. He's out. But he goes. He gets a good jump. He goes. It's going to be close because he's fast and he's good and he got a good jump. And throws just a little bit high and he slides it under. And
safe.
Then, yeah, safe. And then
I didn't talk for a while because my jaw was hanging open, guys.
And then we just, the whole game, like, I think we got another guy to second base and he got picked off. And that was it. We won 1-0.
No.
Yeah.
Off the first hit.
Off the triple and a ground ball to third. And
then you held him scoreless for
yeah,
the rest of
the
game.
And our pitcher pitched fantastic.
Game of his life.
Game 2 of the playoffs. We're down to our last out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down like 6.
It's not happening.
Come back. Like 6-7 run rally with 2 outs.
No.
In the last inning. We win. We get to face Poly Prep in the championship. John Franco's their pitching coach. John Franco's kid, who's drafted, is on their team. They had won like 80-something games against teams in our league. We smoked them in the championship game. Yeah, from beginning to end.
And then you moved to Hollywood.
Yeah, and then I moved to California. And
of a champion. Joe Prado.
That night I went.
Fiber Jazz Hot Dogs.
My team said to me, they go, come to this bar. I believe it was called The Parlor, but I might be confusing that.
These are young guys.
These are high school kids. They go, come to this bar in New York City. I was like, you're not allowed to go to a bar. And they're like, the guy lets us drink in the basement of this bar. And I walk in, and my whole team and all these kids from the school are down there playing beer pong in the basement of a New York City bar. They're all 17.
Championship beer
yeah.
pong.
And I drank with my players, and my girlfriend at the time was like, what are you doing? You're not allowed to drink with 17-year-olds. I was like,
broke up with her on the spot.
I'm moving to California tomorrow.
Goodbye forever.
Yeah.
Do you have a sister?
She was actually already in California. She's like, what are you doing? You're going to get in trouble. I was like, I'm getting in a car tomorrow
right.
and driving 3,000 miles away. Like, come get me. Part 3. The only person really who should be on a 3-part podcast with me.
Now it'll be all one podcast, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we will. I'll keep it in parts because then everybody will get the real feel of it. We're leaving this Redondo Little League, this whatever park it is.
Slice of heaven.
I mean, we just coached up Kieran a little bit.
Yep, the boy.
I want 10% of his first contract.
Done.
Big league contract. I
think we might have made you some scratch from some of the mom stakes watching your coaching.
Yeah, can't wait.
You might be the personal baseball tutor.
Can't wait to come down here. You remember when I taught the kid about tennis rackets and wiffle balls?
We'll pop fly bonanza.
Yeah.
At the airport field.
I'm down to come down here all the time. Coach them up. Next thing I know, I'm the king of Dondo baseball.
You are reverse Ramon.
Yeah, exactly.
You're Eaj Prano.
All I got to do, keep this mustache,
sure.
wear a hat.
Try not to kill the kids.
I have some stirrup socks. Next thing you know, people are like, how much? Well, we're headed to a bar.
That's right.
We're gonna wrap this part three up. You've convinced me. I said I was off the booze till November, but just being around you makes me want to just imbibe.
I'm an enabler. I'm a great time enabler. You know what's great during great times? Drinking.
But
dude, I could have a club soda, Sam Malone style.
Well, the thing is,
I mean,
I'm not off the booze for. Because I'm an alcoholic or anything.
You're trying to get leaner.
Just trying to get leaner.
So don't drink beer.
No beer. And then, like, even when I do a couple cocktails, it's just, like, one or two here and there. It's a little tequila and grapefruit.
Smart. Wicked smart.
It's basically like a kombucha.
Yeah, dude. Right? I mean, a vodka soda. A vodka on the rocks.
How often do you get to go out and, like, tie one on these days? Are you ever drunk?
Oh, this guy pointing itself? Oh, this guy, he gets hammered, buddy. He gets after it.
In the garage or just, like, out on the town?
Well, really? You're going to stop, right? Okay. I'll tell you something. Being a dad, you find the other dads. You find the moms that party. You find the ones that drink. So, look, I'm not going to go up to Hollywood and get wasted.
Right.
You know? But I will definitely find my kindred spirits out there and we'll imbibe in some shared spirits out there. But, yeah, dude, like... My problem is that, like, I'll have a drink with the old lady. We'll go out, whatever. We'll have a couple of drinks with the friends, and then, like, we'll come home, whatever. What I need to do is then shut it down, or like have a little puff and go to bed. My problem is I'm like, well, I've already opened the door.
I've already started.
I might as well drink a half a bottle of Glenlivet. And then just and then pass out on the couch. So that, like, I don't do that often, but I do that certainly too many times.
Do you remember, like, a real Hollywood party? Like, have you ever been, I mean, you've been in the business a long time. What's your best, just out on the town, Hollywood Hills, a little too much to drink? You got any good drunken celeb run-ins?
I partied with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and Jim Jeffries, and I was blackout. Jim Jeffries, blackout. Called me the next morning to apologize. I was like, you don't have to apologize to me. You may have to apologize to the agent you burned with your cigarette on his chest because you thought he had too many buttons opened on his shirt. DeAndre Jordan, and DeAndre Jordan can't get blackout drunk.
Right.
He got black drunk.
Right.
But he can't get blackout drunk. Blake Griffin got half black drunk. Kendall Jenner was there, and I said, hey, listen, Kendall Jackson, I just want you to know I'm a big fan of your wines. And I just prayed that she would laugh and that Blake would laugh. DeAndre laughed first, and then everybody laughed. Jim Jeffries was too blackout drunk, probably didn't get the reference, also didn't want to laugh because he didn't make the joke.
Right.
But so that was a pretty great celeb night. I got so wasted that I literally was sitting up at the club talking, and the friend I was with was like, and then you fell asleep. You sat up and, like, literally in the middle of a conversation fell asleep, and then you were asleep. And people laughed and then laughed and left. So that was kind of the swan song of the night. Apparently, I was too drunk to get in the Uber, so I had to go sleep at my friend's house. The Uber driver was like, no, I'm not driving this guy to the South Bay. I think maybe the Uber driver just didn't want to drive to the South Bay, to be quite honest.
How about drunks on set? You ever show up to a scene and your co-stars had something on his breath?
Well, if you watch this All's Fair in Love movie, which we recommended, and it's on Amazon Prime, I am drunk during the scene where I am kissing Jeanette. Okay, so it's in her trailer. It was our last night of shooting. Everyone on that set was drunk that night because it was our last night, and we were in, like, Flint, Michigan before the water turned.
Right.
So it was, like, the height of the economic downturn before the auto industry rebounded. It was a dark, dark place, so we needed to just kind of let loose the demons. So we were all drunk on that particular night. But that scene, I am definitely drunk. I'm trying to think of, like, who was, like, wasted on a set that I was working with. I'm pretty sure David Anders and I partied during The Revenant, but nothing too crazy. There were a lot of long night shoots. People do weird shit.
Right.
And also, for the most part, actors are pretty good about pulling the wool over your eyes when they're like on blow or, you know, they've had a couple.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're here in the, was this the Avenue A bar parking lot?
That's right.
So let's Avenue go, A bar. I'm going to go have grill. A, let's go have a tequila and grapefruit juice.
For you.
Yeah. People cannot see you on Twitter. They cannot find, are you not even on Instagram?
No. Nope. They can go to YouTube.
You go to YouTube.
And if you want to talk to me, comment on my YouTube videos. So, and please like all my Dad Holes videos. We're trying to get the band back together to do another Dad Holes video. But I will reply on YouTube. So and all you need is like a Google account or whatever.
And then where? Comment. And then what's the next project people can see you?
Rim of the World coming to Netflix soon. And then I play the comic book store guy on Young Sheldon. So please watch every episode of Young Sheldon. My first episode was season one, episode 18. But they promised they'd be bringing me back multiple times throughout the run of the series. I mean, the kids obviously grows up to be a full on comic book geek.
Right.
So you'd think they'd go back to the comic book store. You'd think the long hair at the comic book store would be there, the owner, Glenn. So please watch Young Sheldon. If you want to watch my episode tonight, it's called A Mother, A Son, and A Blue Man's Backside, season one, episode 18. But I will be back for more in season two, so watch Young Sheldon on CBS Thursday nights. And then everyone should drive and buy as many Kias as possible. But that Kia commercial is going to be great. It's going to be everywhere.
It's not out yet.
It's not out. It's literally, it'll be out like tomorrow.
I'm putting it out there today. This is going to be what this whole episode was about. The Chris Wilde Kia drinking game. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, when you see the Chris Wilde commercial,
drink.
Have a drink.
I love it. And also, always drive Korean. They make the best cars. They have the best pussy. Korea.
Hey, Joe, I like Joe's show. I tell everybody that's my shit. See, I had a long ride, turned the volume up high, and the time flew by so quick. I laughed out loud, that's what it's about. I really don't feel safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause he drinks till he hits the flow. Hey Joe, it's time to stop the show. Pack it up and away we go.